You have a special invitation. The Let's Face the Issues rally is Thursday, July 1st from 5:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Don't miss the meet and greet with refreshments and light food. Then hear Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, host of Let's Face the Issues, speak. There will also be several other speakers and regular guests of his daily radio program. The speakers will discuss social, spiritual, and political issues. And you are invited to join in the discussion during the question and answer session before a live audience. The Let's Face the Issues rally is Thursday, July 1st from 5:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Salem Center Auditorium, the home of this radio station, 7235 Bentley Road, formerly Bonneville Road, just east of Highway 1 Phillips Highway. Seating is limited, so please arrive early to get a seat for the Let's Face the Issues rally, Thursday, July 1st.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about why I trust the Bible. Do you trust it? We're talking about some of the things we find in the Scripture, the prophecies in the Old Testament of things that we find fulfilled in the New Testament. I'm looking at an article that's by a statement by biblical scholar Dr. Charles Caldwell Ryrie. Let me just read you, Pastor, what Dr. Ryrie said. Dr. Charles Caldwell Ryrie has pointed out that by the law of chance, it would require 200 billion Earths populated with 4 billion people each to come up with one person who could achieve 100 accurate prophecies without any error in sequence. But the Bible records 100, not 100, but nearly 2,500 prophecies that all have come about. Let's look at just some of the exciting Old Testament prophecies fulfilled by Christ. Then he goes through the whole litany of those that were fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. One other writer, pastor, points out some of the Old Testament prophecies about the Savior. It says he would be born of the seed of Abraham, prophesied in Genesis 12. That he would be born of the tribe of Judah, prophesied in Genesis 49. He would be born in the lineage of David, 2 Samuel 7. He would be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2.
Amen.
He would be born a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. He would come while the temple was still standing, Malachi 3:1. He would open the eyes of the blind and unstop the ears of the deaf, cause the lame to walk, Isaiah 35. He would be rejected by his own people, Psalms 118, and fulfilled in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're trying to point out is, if God's word, through all of the prophecies of old that we have found, that have come about just as he said, can't we place our faith and trust and confidence in those things that's yet to take place in relationship to eschatological truth? Can we place our faith and trust in his word in totality? It is the word of God that is the truth book in John 8:31 and 32 that I quote every day on this broadcast in relationship to the word of God being truth. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it is the truth book And that's what I want us to understand. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free.
Amen.
It is the truth book, Pastor, that I believe people need to look at rather than questioning and trying to challenge it. Look at it as the truth book, the source of truth, and what we need to do.
Amen.
What do you say?
And Dr. Youngblood, let us be reminded also of everything that you just talked about just now, how unified this book is.
Yes.
There's even some study Bibles. I have one, King James Version study Bible. In the back, you will find a section says harmony of the Gospels.
Yes.
Things that different gospel writers wrote about the life of Jesus. They didn't all say the same thing word for word, but they walked together in harmony, or they agreed together as to what each writer had to say, and they were all the truth.
Yes.
Now we have to know and understand again. Let's look at this word as still yet being a promise to us, because here's where I'm trying to go.
Yes.
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Brother Peter said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Yes.
And then he went on to say, in 2 Peter 3, and I'm going to start at verse number 4, how some of them had things to say about the second coming of Christ. Where is he at? How come it's not happened yet? And saying, verse number 4, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the same word we're talking about right now, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water.
Yes.
Talking about the creation. Now, listen to what he says. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Mm-hmm. Verse number 7, very important. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, that's where we are.
Right.
In this present time, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So that's a powerful word, Dr. Youngblood.
Absolutely.
Amen. If the same word God spoke,
yes,
created everything that we see here,
right,
and those things continue on as they were, and this word was spoken in the past, this same world that we're living in right now is being reserved unto judgment by that same word.
That's right.
So that's telling me, Dr. Youngblood, we can't take this word lightly.
That's right.
Amen.
And when you study,
this word is quick and is powerful.
Amen. When you study Romans chapter 1, Pastor, we understand that everyone's without excuse.
Amen.
In fact, turn, if you will, please, in Romans, the first chapter, and let's read some of those verses there. Romans chapter 1, where it's dealing with those that are without excuse. Because there are a lot of folks that will say, well, I don't believe what the word says. But the scripture tells us in the Romans text that everyone, in fact, picking up with about verse 18, read that for us, Pastor.
Amen. Says here, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
They're without excuse. In fact, you can go out and look at the beautiful skies and know that God's there.
Amen.
You can go out and look at the trees as the wind's blowing through the leaves and know that God is there.
Amen. Amen.
And that same God, ladies and gentlemen, that created the heavens and the earth in Genesis, the first 11 chapters, by the way, sets the stage and is the fundamental foundation for all doctrines that we have today. Every doctrine in the Bible is fountainheaded, if you please, finds its seed root in the first 11 chapters of Genesis. And it's that same God that created the heavens and the earth. It is the same God that created male and female, created he them. It's the same God that is revealed to man today. Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21 is the progressive revelation of God to man.
Amen.
And that's the reason that God sent his son, Jesus. God came in the form of man, Jesus, that we might know God and might be able to recognize and relate to God through Jesus Christ. It's the truth book.
Amen.
Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And in John 17:17, Jesus says, thy word is truth. Jesus quoted scripture, Pastor, when in Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 11, when Jesus was in the wilderness to be tested, according to Mark chapter 1, verse 12, he was sent into the wilderness to be tested, to prove that he is God and could not yield to Satan. But in the wilderness, he was tempted. There was an attempt to tempt him by Satan. And what did Jesus do? He used the word of God as his defense.
Amen. Amen.
And one of the things that we need to learn from that, ladies and gentlemen, is our best defense is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. In fact, the psalmist said in Psalms 119, verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of the righteous judgments endureth forever.
Amen. Amen. Powerful word. Amen.
Powerful word.
Amen.
The word of God has endured the centuries, ladies and gentlemen, with the agnostics, the atheists, the critics, the skeptics, and those that want to try to defame, destroy, tear down, and eviscerate the word of God. It has God has sustained his word for all of these centuries. It is the book of books. And again, Pastor, I made mention earlier, you can go into any library around the globe, and you can look in any books, regardless of how famous and how would you put it, renowned they may be. You'll not find any book that has survived for thousands of years as we found with the Word of God.
Amen, amen. Jesus. And what's so amazing about this book, Dr. Youngblood, it should capture the attention of everyone. Because you could flip any page and it reads like the front page of the daily newspaper.
That's right.
Amen. It is so powerful. It is so accurate. It is so infallible. That's one of the words that the writer of the book of Acts used. When he, amen, wrote that book, he said that he was writing to Theophilus, and he said, I'm presenting to you the infallible proofs of Christ.
Many infallible
the things
proofs, yes.
That he did, amen, after his resurrection, amen. In other words, if you read this and come to understand it, make no mistake about it, my friend. He did rise again from the dead.
Absolutely.
And I'm certainly glad for that on today.
God said it, and that settles it.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus said in Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away.
Amen. Amen.
There, somehow, some way, ladies and gentlemen, there's a mindset. Perhaps you've thought these things. There's a mindset that I can discount the word of God. Just as I alluded to earlier in the conversation today, where there are those during Pride Month, as it is called, will say, God made me that way. Well, it's countering. When that person says that, it is discounting the word of God.
Amen.
It is countering the word of God. Because in Genesis 1:24, the scripture says, God created male and female, created he them.
Amen.
He didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve.
Amen.
He didn't create a mistake. He created man and woman.
And he didn't create Steve and Cleve.
That's right.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And yet we have those today that perhaps not knowingly, but absolutely definitively with a self-will to do so, they're rejecting the word of God.
Amen.
When God's word says, by the way, that those that live that lifestyle, Pastor, God's word is very clear in 1 Corinthians the 6th chapter, verse 9 and 10. Those that live the Sodomite lifestyle will die and burn in a devil's hell.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely,
amen.
Without any question. Lest they repent.
Amen.
Lest they repent. Because the Apostle Paul, in that same text, in the 11th verse, says, and such were some of you.
Amen.
And he talks about there were some of those in the church at Corinth that had come out of that lifestyle and that background. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about why I trust the Bible. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to have your comments, your questions, your dialogue and discussion. Do you trust the Bible? Do you have any questions or disbelief about any part of the Bible? If so, what? If so, why? Let's talk about them. We need to understand why. But the scripture is very, very clear. The Bible is an indestructible book. It has survived for thousands and thousands of years. The critics have challenged it. The skeptics have beaten against it. The atheists have put it down. The agnostics for centuries have said that you can't trust the Bible and you disbelieve the word of God. but look at any bookshelf you want to, as I said earlier, Pastor, you'll not find any book that has survived the test of time as the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God.
Amen.
It is inspired. God breathed. And if it's God's breath put on paper, it's going to sustain and without any question. It is inerrant. Inerrant. What does that mean, inerrant? Does not have an error in it. There is not an error in the Bible.
Amen.
It means it's trustworthy. It means it's reliable. It means it can have no contradictions. And time will not allow to go through place after place in the Scripture where there is a question in the minds of many that says, God says this here, but over here says this, and try to use that as the criteria by which you critique the Word of God and say that God has made an error. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not prone to error.
Amen.
The impossibility for God to be prone to error. He's the divine author of Scripture, and therefore he is totally trustworthy without any error, and he makes no mistakes.
Amen. Amen.
Makes no mistakes.
Amen.
Since
Amen.
God himself is without error, his word, which is the breathed out breath of God, is without error.
Amen. Amen.
And yet, some way, there's a mindset that God's made an error. His word is inspired. His word is infallible. That word infallible means it cannot lack any truth in it. It is infallible. God is correct and true in everything that he says. In fact, in Psalms 119, verse 160, and the scripture says is that it is without error. But in Titus 1:2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God had said that cannot lie, promised before the world began.
That cannot lie.
Cannot lie.
Praise God.
Amen.
I love that. You, Dr. Youngblood, I teach that hard.
Amen.
At my church. Listen, my friend, if you can just take the Bible wherever you decide to read.
That's right.
Any portion of it that you want to pick to start off reading. And most of the time for new converts, I suggest for them to start reading in the book of Psalms because it's very inspirational, uplifting, and you kind of need that when you first come to Christ.
That's right.
But Dr. Youngblood, if you could just take that Titus first chapter.
Yes, yes, yes.
Second verse that you just read that says, God cannot lie. My friend, take those three words and challenge him. Anywhere you want to in the scripture and prove it out for yourself whether or not he'll tell you a lie.
And he won't.
And listen, I mean, I know I did this myself, Dr. Youngblood. I'm telling you by self-experience because I didn't understand everything at one point in time in my walk with Christ, everything that I read in the Bible. So I had to come to a growing knowledge of Christ.
Staying in the Word.
Right. Amen. So that I would better know how to live my life so it'll be well-pleasing to God.
Amen.
And there were areas, especially in the area of tithing. You know, that money thing is, that's a big thing in the church. So many people don't want to trust God with their money, but can God trust you?
That's right.
That's the question.
Many want to take the penknife and slice out that they disagree with.
Amen. 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 So what I did, Dr. Youngblood, I looked up all the scriptures that I could concerning tithing, and I looked at the promises that God said would come along with us if we just, I mean, that will come to us
if we just
obey his word.
Right.
And when I went to Malachi, and a lot of people say that's not relevant to us on today, that was Old Testament, tithing is in the past. Okay, my friend, if you don't want to trust him like that, then.
Well, they said it's a myth, but they're just myth taken.
Amen. 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 But my friend, that's the only scripture I know of in Malachi 3 where God invites you to challenge
him.
He said, prove me now, not tomorrow.
Right.
Prove me right now if I will not open you up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that it won't be room enough to receive it. I took that verse of scripture for myself, Dr. Youngblood. I examined it, and each and every time I brought my tithe, because you can't pay God. Some people say pay and tithe. No, you can't pay him. Amen. But if you bring the tithes, like he said in that scripture, bring them to the storehouse. Put God on the front burner and prove him.
That's right.
And Youngblood, each and every time I did that, and listen, let me tell you something, my friend. This is another thing I teach at my church. I'm not telling you because you put money on the table, God promised you money back because you never find that
in
the scripture.
Promises
that he gives you money because you gave him money. That's not what we're saying. Your blessings come in the form of your needs.
Yes.
And since I started trusting God fully with the first part.
Fruit, first fruit.
Amen. First fruit. Amen. Of my increase. My friend, I have never lacked ever since.
That's right.
My home has been blessed.
And
my family has been blessed.
Back to the infallibility, the trustworthiness
Amen.
Of the Word of God.
Amen.
The
so
trustworthiness.
That was enough proof for me right there.
Absolutely.
That the Bible is true. So,
Absolutely.
My friend, I challenge you with the same thing.
Yes.
Prove him out whether or not he will keep his word to you as he said.
In fact, I referred to that in Psalms 119, verse 160 a moment ago. Thy word is true from the beginning.
Amen.
And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever.
Amen. Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
That's a pretty good time.
Amen.
I like that. The Bible, by the way, as one writer put it, said the Bible is not a science book, but when we read about what the Scripture says in science, it validates it. The Bible is not a history book, but when we read the Scripture, we find it relates to history, past, present, and future. The Bible is absolutely, as one stated, totally unchangeable because it is immutable, and we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about why I trust the Bible. Do you place your trust, faith, and confidence in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God? Thousands and thousands of years we've had the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, our Bible is an amazing book from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22. It is the revelation of God to man.
Amen.
It is God's progressive revelation of himself to mankind. The Bible is a supernatural book, supernaturally, divinely origin of the Bible. Our Bible is from God, it is about God, and it's God's Word put on paper.
Amen.
I call it black ink on white paper. It is supernatural because God spoke to men of renown, and they wrote the book. They wrote the words. It was inspired. God gave them word for word of what he would have us to have today. That's one of the things, Pastor, and I won't get into the minutia of it with the different translations. That's the reason it is so important for us to understand the right translation. I'm not a King James only, but all my memories in King James, all of my research and writings in King James, all of my preaching is from King James. I believe it is the best manuscript because you look at the manuscripts from some of the others, some of the men that with some of the other manuscripts that some of the other translations come from have perverted backgrounds and absolutely unthinkable that there would be a real text from that. I'm saying to you, that you can start off with whatever translation you want to, but as you want to grow in the Word, as you want to study the Word, as you want to understand the Word of God, the King James text, I believe, is the better translation. God's Word, the Bible, is a guidebook, ladies and gentlemen. It's the guidebook for our life. It's the guidebook for our living. David said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I'll not sin against thee." It is the guidebook of life. It tells us what to do, how we should live, and how what our lives ought to be like. It is the Bible that convicts us of sin. It is at Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through 17. It talks about the Bible being preached. It talks about hearing the Word, heeding the Word. And as we hear the Word, it is the Holy Spirit of God that woos us unto himself, that brings us to faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord.
Amen.
I believe we have John on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I have a comment. I had a spiritual mentor. He told me about shepherds and the sheep. Let's say we have three shepherds. What they would do is they'd have to watch their sheep 24 hours. So what they would do is they would take turns as they were sleeping. And then during the day, they would talk to their sheep. And the way they would get them to come to them in the morning is they'd been talking to them. And so the sheep could recognize their voice, so they would go to their shepherd. But if we don't spend time talking to the shepherd, then how can we recognize his voice? And I, for myself, I think that what was the key to me is when I chose Jesus Christ as my Savior, that I was spiritually born again so that I could read the Bible and maybe not really understand it when I wasn't spiritually born again. And actually, as I've grown spiritually, I've learned to understand his word better. But I think the key to it is to be able to first start off is to have that relationship, that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, so that the spiritual part of our being is created, born again, and then we start studying and we'll be able to understand as we grow spiritually the Word of God. Because there's been times that I've read something and didn't really strike a chord. And then, I don't know, six years, whatever, all of a sudden it's like, wow, I've read this before, but now it really means something to me. So it's actually, it's like I think you've said, it's a growing book. It's not a book. What I love about the Bible is it has a whole bunch. It's a collection of dysfunctional people that yielded themselves to God, and God did things to them, not them.
Absolutely. You're exactly right, brother. In fact, you touched on that, and you paraphrased, but it was almost a quote of John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear, and it's the word oikos. It's the mindset of hearing and heeding. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them because they follow me.
Amen.
And the
Amen.
Way we follow him is to know him, gnosis, to know him, to have a personal firsthand relationship to him, with him. And that is the key to understanding the scripture. As we know him, as we stay in the word, he speaks to us as the shepherd. And you're exactly right, brother. Thank you so much for your insight, for your spot on with what you've said. And I pray your words will be a blessing to others also. Pastor, we've got about a minute and a half left on the broadcast. But when we look at the scripture, there's just a group of things that I want to wrap up with, a litany of things that I want us to have our audience to understand. The Bible tells us what the Bible tells us and why it's important. Bible tells us how the universe, for example, came into existence in Genesis, the first 11 chapters in particular. The Bible tells us that God exists and what he's like as we study the word. The Bible tells us why man exists. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 10, the Bible is very, very clear as to why we exist. We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So the Bible tells us why we're here. We're here to honor God, to love God, to serve him, and
Amen.
To honor him. The Bible tells us our purpose of being here. The Bible teaches us what evil is and the source of evil. The Bible teaches us how we can have eternal life, according to the scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world
Amen.
That he
Amen.
Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Pastor, we've got about 30 seconds left. Wrap our broadcast up for our listeners today.
Amen. Well, just want to thank God for all of you that listen on today. We wish we would have gotten a lot more callers, amen, to have input and ask questions. My friend, don't be ashamed.
That's right.
I know that everybody out there don't understand the Bible as they should.
That's right.
Just like that last young man just called a while ago and said, it took him some time to keep reading over and over.
After
and he
salvation.
Kept growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But help us to know and understand. Let us know on today. Amen. That there is nothing else that needs to be added to the Bible is complete within itself.
Amen.
All these new revelations and all these new prophecies that they're coming up with now on today, Dr. Youngblood, are counterfeit.
Counterfeit.
God has already said what he needs to say to us on today, so we need to be thankful and keep on blessing his name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issue.
Expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.